Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and we want to welcome all of you. We're so glad that you're with us today, as we missed last Sunday because of the crazy snow. I swear, it seems like every year or every other year, we have snow that comes in 2 hours before the service, and it's not light snow, it's heavy snow. And but we are so glad to see all of you and that you can be back with us in worship today. And a little bit later on, we are going to be starting a new series. And we're going to be focusing around the question, who is Jesus really? And so I hope that, and that's going to lead us all the way into our Lenten season. So somewhere 8 to 10 weeks, I'll see how it all works out. And I'm looking forward to that with all of you. And I'll say more about that a little bit later on. But we are glad to see you. And so let's just stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Let's join together there for our call to worship. The Lord is our light and salvation.
We will not be afraid.
Behold the beauty of the Lord.
God will shelter us on any day of trouble and set us high on the rock.
Let God's people shout for joy. Come, let us rejoice together in worship. Well, let's join together there. You can either turn in your hymn books to hymn number 43, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O world, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children in His arms. He carries us all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong.
Praise Him,
praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Gracious Lord, you shepherd us by still waters and guide us along paths of peace. You send us comfort and courage to relieve our tears and fears. Thank you for calling us your friends. We offer our praise, for you are always with us. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and you can turn to your next hymn, one of my favorites, hymn number 270, In the Garden, or you can follow along there on the PowerPoint this morning. Come to the garden alone,
while the dew is still on the roses,
and the
voice I hear
falling off
my ear,
the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me. Tells me I am his own, and the joy we share can't be there another has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birch hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he talks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we carry there another has ever. With him, though the night around me is calling, but he bids me go with a voice of woe.
His voice
to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Well, I'm going to invite our kids, if they would come forward this morning. Good morning. Lots and lots of people today. Can you get in there? There we go. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm hoping maybe you can help me out. Because I know sometimes you always feel a little anxious or nervous about answering questions. Like, oh my gosh, am I going to get it wrong? No, you don't have to worry about it if you get it wrong. That's okay. So, who is the most famous person you have ever met? Who's the most famous, or maybe who is the most important person?
God.
God, yes. Now there's a really good answer. No, that was a good answer. Yes. Yes, God. Who else? Yeah, God. That's right. I'm glad you said God. That's a good one. But is there anybody else you've ever met? Maybe somebody famous? Can't think of anybody? Nobody in your family famous? Mom and Dad? Yes, yes. They're really important, aren't they? Yes, they are. Yes. What would we do without Mom and Dad? Yes. Yeah. Who else? Anybody else? Okay, so I have another question for you. What would you do if Jesus literally walked in through that door over there? What would you do? Would you be scared a little? Surprised? Would you want to give him a hug? Would you know it was Jesus? Because we've never really seen his face before. Would we know it was him right away? Yeah, I know. See, those are honest answers. I don't know if I would know who that, I mean, exactly. How do we know Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? We're going to talk about that. Now, I'm not going to talk about it today, but next week, we're going to talk about Jesus as our friend. There's an interesting story in the Bible that talks about that. But today, how do we know Jesus? How do we get to know Jesus? Can you think of one way that we get to know Jesus, even though we can't see him or hug him or touch him? How do we know about Jesus today? Is it because you asked him? Huh? Hey, by golly, you are on a roll this morning. Give me five. He says, because we come here. Yes, we come to church. Exactly. We come together for worship. That's how we know Jesus today. That's how, if I could say it this way, that's how we encounter Jesus. We don't see Jesus physically or here with us, but we sense, if I could say it that way, sense Jesus. So have you ever felt scared? Have you ever felt scared? Oh, you've never felt scared? Oh my gosh, I better go live with you then. I remember as a kid feeling scared at times. Have you ever felt happy?
Yes.
Have you ever felt sad? So how do you know that you're not happy instead of sad? Because of the way you feel? Okay, maybe you're in a dark room all by yourself. Yes, it kind of might be a little scary. How do you know that? Because you feel it inside you, don't you? You feel that, don't you? The same is true about Jesus. When we come here, we don't see Jesus, but we can feel him with us. And we know he's here because he said he's here with us. He said he will always be with us, no matter what we're going through. And that is who Jesus is to each of us. And as you get older, that will change and be a little different for each one of you when you get to know Jesus even more so. Okay? All right. That's the start. Next week we'll talk more about it. Okay, you can go on downstairs, and I think we're going to let our teens go down this morning for their class.
This morning, as we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to take a few moments to let you share your joys and concerns before we go to prayer. And so if you'd like to share those this morning, we'll let you do that. Somebody this morning, yes.
Thank you.
sick young girl. And Bill Wilkins, starting February 1st, is going to have 3 surgeries on his back. And he's hoping that these surgeries will actually totally heal him. So we really need to pray. And then we have a little boy named Adam with cancer of the nose. And he has been sent to Texas. Actually, he got sent there early to have the therapy to try to cure that cancer, because he has none any place else in his body. And David Friend has been taken off the vent, and we just need to keep praying for him and for Tammy and the boys.
Is he David? Is he somebody younger? I'm not familiar with that situation.
David Friend graduated from East. I can say, what's Gerald's neighbor?
He's my neighbor. He was.
Okay. Well, we definitely need to keep him in our prayers and for his family there. Wow. So Joanne and Bill and Adam and David and the family there. Somebody else, yeah.
Dale Schaefer.
Oh, okay. What did you say about Dale?
Bill.
Oh, Bill?
Sorry.
He has heart problems. Okay, heart. Thank you. Karen, I saw you. Did you say they put him in hospice? Okay. Dale. So we want to remember Dale this morning for hospice and Bill with heart. And I saw another hand. Yeah.
Look at Bonnie. She didn't get great news this last time. She had another promise. And also Dana. He's having problems with his sciatic.
So we want to remember Dana. And yes, I think there was a couple more spots, areas that they found with Bonnie, and some of it had to do with some confusion about how long she could take a certain medicine and not take it. And I think they got that squared away, but we definitely do need to keep her in our prayers as she's going to be going for treatments, getting back on the right regimen and rotation of that she's allowed to take. While I'm thinking about that, ask prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce, who is going in for, I'm taking him tomorrow for his PET scan. And so we'll see once he just finished another 5 rounds, and we're going to see how that goes. Appreciate your prayers for him and also for strength. I know he was doing real well, but that last round he got really kind of kicked him. And appreciate your prayers for strength for him. Just to give you an update on Jill, Jody's sister, that we've been praying for. Some of the results were good. Nothing's changed. Some shrunk. They're going to readjust her medicine, and hopefully she'll be able to function better while going through these next rounds that will take her up to late spring, early summer. And so we appreciate your prayers for her as she's going to be starting that. I believe it's in 10 days they'll be starting that series with that. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Unspoken? Someone else? Yeah.
And unspoken as well.
Okay. We know the Lord knows that. Yeah. Okay. And I thought, yep.
My brother Roger Kirk went to Brookdale on Stanfield Thursday, and he really needs prayers for strength. He is so weak.
Yes. He's in his 90s, isn't he?
95.
Yeah. So definitely want to keep Roger in our prayer.
Four or five from Cass County.
Well, that'll be good that he'll have some companionship too while he's in there. That makes a difference while you're in there. I thought I saw another hand. Did I see another one over here? Maybe not.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. Anybody else then? Yeah.
I had a friend. It started in November. He got his identity stolen, and it's awful. They took everything. And yeah, what he did was is he used it. He didn't have his wallet, just maybe information to go out there. He didn't have money, so he used Apple Pay at the pump, and they were from Saudi Arabia. And just there's one thing he's got a lawyer for to try to get some money back. So that's the main. All the rest is gone, and that's his life savings that he started when he was 14. So.
Yeah. Yep. You never know what can happen. We had somebody we knew from 6-7 years ago. Her identity was stolen. And she talked about how hard it was to get everything taken care of. So definitely want to pray for that friend of hers. Anybody else? All right. Well, we want to continue praying for Janelle Zimmerman, who basically it's like congestive heart failure. She keeps having fluid building up around her heart and lungs. Megan Watkins, who's going through dialysis, we want to remember her, and then Elaine, continuing to lift up Elaine. She just has these side issues that just kind of creep up with that Lyme disease and just kind of affects her in different ways. Richard, I saw Richard this past week after he had his, Richard Walker, after he had his surgery. Doing very well, had his sense of humor, and was intact. I wanted to text Judy this morning because I hadn't heard anything since I saw him. But they're trying to get him into a rehab center in Springfield, so it'll be closer and easier for Judy to get over there to see him, so he can go through some therapy for a while to get his strength back. And definitely appreciate your prayers for Richard and keeping him lifted up as he is needing strength and that mobility and everything that comes back with after having that, his second spine surgery. So any others then? All right. We'll go ahead. There's lots of names there this morning and give you a chance to pray for some of those as it plays there. And then I'll come and close us out. Lord, we pause today to give you thanks for your presence that is here with us today. Thank you that we have some nicer weather so that we are able to gather together in worship, that we're able to come before you and sing and pray and hear the word today, and we just ask that you would bless and guide. And most of all, we are just so thankful for Jesus, the one that we can turn to in our time of need, the one that we're told who went about and did good and healed and ministered and delivered and shared the good news of God's kingdom. And Lord, as we pause today, we want to lift up those that have been mentioned today, Lord. There's so many to think of today, Lord. We thank you for bringing Richard through the surgery. We ask for strength and healing as he goes through rehab. For Dana this morning with his sciatic. For Joanne, Lord God, for your touch there today. For Bill, who's going to be going through these three surgeries that are upcoming, God, we just ask that you would guide and be with him and bring healing to his body. For Adam, Lord, who has this cancer on his nose, Lord, we just lift that need up today and ask for your healing and as he is getting treatment for that. We pray for David and ask for your grace and your mercy and love to be extended to him and his family during this time right now. Lord, we lift up Bill, who's having issues with his heart, Lord. God, asking for your strength and touch and healing grace. For Dale, Lord, who has been, hospice has been brought in. We just ask for your comfort and peace and strength for him right now, Lord, and the family. Lord, we lift up Bonnie to you, God, and with these, she's been facing these couple new spots, Lord, and we just ask that as she goes back on this regiment of treatment, God, that you would just bring healing there as only you can do. We pray for Bruce as he's going in for his PET scan tomorrow. We just ask that there would be a good report, and we're thankful for that. Give him your strength, Lord, that he needs as his body just heals a little bit before he may have to start again. Lord, we just thank you that Jill is much stronger and able to function mostly normal now, and we're grateful for that. We just pray that you'll guide and direct and continue to bring healing to her body as she starts the new treatment there. Lord, we lift up Roger, God, who is just so weak. We just ask for strength for him and faith and encouragement with that change in location, God. Lord, we lift up this friend of Kathy's whose identity was stolen, asking that you would minister and help that all to get worked out there in that situation, God. And Lord, we just pray for Megan, who's going through dialysis. We ask for your healing touch and grace and strength there. We continue to pray for Elaine, God, your healing touch in her body, Lord. We continue to lift up Janelle with this congestive heart failure, Lord, that you would just minister to her today and that your healing touch will be with her as she is trying to get that taken care of. And we thank you for that today. Lord, we lift up those on our monthly list, Lord, that we pray for all the time, many of them facing very serious illnesses and cancers and heart problems and different things. We just lift them up to you, Lord, and ask that you would minister to them today. Lord, we lift up these four or five unspoken requests that were mentioned today, God. You know each one of them. And I just ask that you would minister as only you can do as you touch each of those needs because you know them. And Lord, maybe there's somebody that came in today that has a need in their life, maybe something they couldn't share, something they've been facing, Lord, that you would minister to them as only you can do. Lord, thank you that your burden is light and that you call us to lay our heavy burdens at your feet and release them to you. And I just ask for your ministry today as only you can do by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we break the bread of your word, and as we talk about Jesus over the next weeks in this series, that Jesus, we just ask that you would just become more real to us in a very special way. And we will realize that you are a friend above all other friends, and that you are the one who loves us so much and is with us through thick and thin, and that we can always turn to you, and that we can always look to you for strength and faith in our time of need. And we're grateful today as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord, hear our prayers, O Lord, incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us today in prayer. And I think it was the Apostle Paul, it was Jesus himself, that said, if any two or three of you agree together as touching something in prayer, that God will work in ways that we can't imagine. So thank you for that. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we know that that is one of the ways that God continues the work of the kingdom, not only in local communities of faith, but also around the world and in our community. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Loving Father, may our gifts share your joy and hope, bringing reconciliation and help to those seeking to walk in your ways. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading is going to be coming from two passages that we are going to be looking at. First of all, the first one, which we'll probably read every Sunday through the series, comes out of Matthew. I could have used the Mark version or the Luke version of it also, where the disciples and Jesus are having conversation together. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. And then an interesting story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. So let's begin there, Matthew 16, 15. He said, or Jesus said, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And then Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And he was approaching, or as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants us to hear today. Well, a mother took her 3-year-old son to church for the first time. Getting impatient while waiting for the service to start, the little boy turned to her and asked, "What time does Jesus get here?" I wanted to start with that joke. I had another one and I'll share that one next week. But anyways, because I thought it conveys a good point. When does Jesus get here? And as we begin this series, Who Are You, Jesus? The question that I'm asking that was up on the PowerPoint earlier is, who is Jesus really? And that question has been pondered for and debated for centuries. And even before I studied about Jesus in college and seminary, even before I had various encounters with Jesus, I knew and worshiped him as Savior and Lord. I knew Jesus growing up as a kid. My parents instilled that. I went to Sunday school every Sunday. I went to vacation Bible school from probably, I don't know how old I was, up through sixth grade, you know, every summer. I grew up, I knew his name. It was a part of our household. I think I've told you this story before. When I was probably 10, I kept having this nightmare every night. And it scared me, this nightmare I was having, about a tornado coming and wiping us out. And one time I remember coming downstairs and I was crying and I woke mom and dad up and both of them got up out of bed. It was probably 2-3 in the morning. And my dad looked at me and he said, "Come here and sit down with me." And he said these words, and I'll never forget this. "We're going to pray and ask Jesus to get rid of these dreams so that you never have them again. And do you know, my dad prayed, and I never had those dreams ever again. That's just a story. So I grew up with Jesus. I knew that Jesus is the heart of Christian faith, and he's always been with me in various ways through my life. In fact, I can probably say this very honestly, that I love Jesus. He means the world to me. I don't know what I would do without him. I don't know how people function in the world without Jesus. And I hope that through this series, and I want to clarify a couple. This is not going to be a historical study. This is not going to be a deep theological study. This series is about experiencing Jesus. We're going to look at stories in Scripture about people who have encountered Jesus and experienced him in various ways. And today we're looking at one that you may not be as familiar with. Luke tells us this story in Acts about Saul of Tarsus, who we know more familiar as the Apostle Paul. Two more times in the book of Acts, Paul tells us the same story, but a little bit different. He adds in some things that we didn't fully know in those other places in the book of Acts that Luke records for us. And so what I'm hoping through this series is that Jesus will resonate with us in a fresh way and encourage us not only to share our stories of Jesus with others as we have opportunity, but also to realize that he is always there with us, whatever we may go through. And so we begin today by looking at the life of a very religious person who turned the world upside down because of his encounter with Jesus. And his name is Saul of Tarsus. So let's look at it as we begin. And I'm going to use the questions that he asked and how Jesus responded is kind of my main points. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? I think that's a question that we've all faced at one time or another regarding Jesus in our lives. Somewhere along the way, maybe long ago when we were kids or teenagers or whatever, even as adults, and we will continue to ask as we get closer to maybe our time to leave this world. Why? Because this is the reason. Each of us has encountered Jesus in some way. We may have encountered Jesus in a worship setting, maybe through prayer, maybe through Bible study, maybe through Bible reading, when we experience baptism, when we experience communion and sharing communion together, maybe when you were growing up in the youth group, maybe when you attended church camp as a teenager, or some experienced church camp as even adults. Or maybe while you were hiking one day, or maybe while driving your car out wherever it was, maybe while you were helping someone, maybe while you were listening to music, or a song came on and made you think of Jesus, or maybe watching a TV program. In various ways, each of us encounter Jesus, and that's because that's the way Jesus chooses to interact with us and touch us. Like I was trying so hard to keep it simple, and sometimes it's hard to explain these kind of things to kids, to keep it simple to them. And sometimes that's true for even us, that we can encounter Jesus in varieties of way. And Saul in our reading today encountered Jesus as a blinding light. Now, we get the blinding I get the word blinding. If you read Paul in elsewhere, you find out that he was in Luke or in Acts, that he was blinded because of his encounter with Jesus. And he was on the road and he was heading out and he was going to take care of these followers of the way that he did not agree with and thought they were a threat to Judaism. And all of a sudden he has this encounter with Jesus. A light from heaven struck him to the ground, and a voice thundered, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, Saul, a good zealous Jew, heard the voice and replied, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Let me ask you a question. How did you encounter Jesus? How do you still encounter Jesus this very day? What does he mean to you each day of your life? Because each of us have been changed by Jesus in some way. Some way, those little encounters, those little things, sometimes we might chalk it up as a coincidence, but those could be God moments or Jesus moments in our lives. And they begin to shape us in different ways. And each of us has been touched by Jesus in some way or another. We love to sing that Bill Gaither song, "He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened." Notice, did you ever notice that language? Something happened, and now I know. You know, when I first heard that, and I'm even thinking about it right now, sometimes those encounters with Jesus, we don't always understand. Something happens. But then sometimes later on, we realize, oh, that was Jesus. That was God. Encounter. And suddenly, Saul's world turned upside down and inside out because somebody had called him out on what he was doing. And I bet in that moment, if we could have gotten to talk to him personally, he probably said he was terrified. He was probably felt shame. He was probably horrified a little bit. And all of a sudden, his awe and reverence went to a different level. But also, in all of that, the glory of Christ was there with him in that moment. In a life-changing moment, Saul, who we know later on as Paul the Apostle, became a believer in Jesus. Not because of a theology, not because of a creed, not because of how important of a religious person he was, a zealot, a Pharisee. He tells us these things in Philippians, you know. He was a keeper of the law and didn't hardly mess up at all in it. But because he had experienced and encountered Jesus as a blinding light, as the risen one. And because of that, Jesus healed his angry, hurt soul. Because nobody goes around and goes marching down to hunt people down, put them in chains and threaten them, kill them, unless they're hurting or angry inside. And healed his broken heart. "Who are you, Lord?" Well, I love how Jesus responds. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Did you catch that? Why did he answer that way? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus identifies with each of us. Wait a minute. I mean, think about it. "Saul, Saul, why are you..." Those words must have burned inside Saul in that moment. Do you mean, imagine if I'm Saul for a minute, do you mean these people, these men and women that I've been dragging off to prison were your people? Were your family? Were an extension of you? It was all too much. Paul tells us in Galatians that after all this happened, he went away into the Arabia. And I think, and many scholars think, during that time, Paul learned about Jesus and studied the scriptures And that's why he was able to tell us all the things that he told us and write all the letters that he wrote us as the Apostle Paul. You mean what happens to your followers happens to you, Jesus? Let me tell you something this morning. Jesus feels our pain. Jesus sees our hurt. Jesus knows our hearts. He understands us like no one else can. And because of that, we have a new source in life with Jesus. Those words from Jesus remind us that everything Saul of Tarsus said and did from that moment on, including everything he wrote, flowed from that encounter and experience with Jesus. I think I've told you this story, or some of you know this story I've told before. When I was 16 years old, we went to a youth convention in Findlay, Ohio at, I don't know, something temple. I can't remember the name of the church off the top of my head. But anyways, there was an 87-year-old lady evangelist that spoke at that youth service. And she talked to us that day a lot about what I'm talking to you about today, except in a whole different way. But anyways, and then at the end, she said, any of you that want to experience Jesus in a new, I'm 16, I don't know. I mean, I've never experienced things like quite like that before, even though I grew up in the church. Something changed in that moment because she invited us all to come up and we all came up. And she just started placing her hands on us to pray for us. And I'll never forget, to this day, she didn't even get close to me. She was about 3 feet away from me and she looked at me and smiled with a grin. And in that moment, it was like somebody poured warm butter over the top of my head and it went all the way down to my feet. And to this day, when I go through rough times in life, in ministry, in life, and I feel like giving up, I remember that encounter with Jesus in that youth convention in Findlay, Ohio. I've never experienced anything like that ever again in my life, but in that moment, Jesus was as real as you are to me in that moment. And that was one of those encounters that I have had. And a lot of what flows out of me is because of that. And the same is true with us. We are who we are because of our experiences in life. And hopefully, we are who we are because of our encounters with Jesus. He is our source of abundant life. So from his first encounter on the Damascus Road to his missionary journeys to his imprisonments and eventual death, Paul grappled with that question, who are you, Lord? And those words, I am Jesus, changed the life of Saul of Tarsus to Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. And those words transform us also. How is Jesus transforming you? Perhaps you're like me and you've known Jesus your whole life, or maybe you have known Jesus only for a short time. Maybe you're like me and you're looking to experience Jesus in a renewed sense even this very day. Whatever the case, you are welcome to the story of Jesus, to rediscover who Jesus is and to know that he has peace, healing, wholeness, and extends compassion to each of us so that we may share it with the world. Thank God for our encounters with Jesus. Next week, We are going to look at Jesus, our friend. Who are you, Jesus? Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead, and since I'm getting close to the end right there, let's just go ahead and we're going to get ready. So I'll ask David if he can get that last song ready. We're going to go ahead and stand this morning, and we're going to sing our last little chorus here. We're going to sing, I think it goes through twice. Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me. So let's stand together this morning, and let's sing that out this morning as we close out today. Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord to me. Let's sing it again. Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord to me. Well, let's join together there for our benediction this morning. Go forth enjoying our friendship with Jesus. May God's love, the peace of Christ, and the unity in the Holy Spirit be yours now and always. Amen. Amen.